Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show.
On today's episode, I am over the moon to welcome Kim Williams-Davis. Kim, I am so happy to see you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Happy to be seeing
you too. This is going to be a good show, guys. Let me tell you, Kim is just such an amazing force to be reckoned with. She's an entrepreneur. She has, and I hope all of you have been there, but if you haven't, I invite you to go check out Bushwick Grind. It is an amazing, not just a coffee shop, but they have food, they have activities. It's really a staple in the community, and I really invite all of you to check it out. We'll have all of Kim's social media and everything available next to the podcast link, so you'll be able to follow her, etc. But Kim, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah, so Kim Williams Davis, if you're nasty.
Like Janet.
Exactly. And thank you for the compliment, you know, being amongst the company of you and our fellow Goldman Sachs, Tory Burch cohorts, not sure if you shared that with everybody yet, is just amazing. So I'm always inspired to try to do better because I have a lot of folks that I look up to and inspire to be like. But Bushwick Grind is a third wave coffee shop. We started as a coffee shop. Now we're a full service cafe. We being my husband, Raymond Davis, and I. We ventured off about 4 years ago, having seen all the changes in the Bushwick section of Brooklyn, we really wanted to be part of the change, right? So Bushwick is a rapidly gentrified area in Brooklyn, like many are, and, you know, we bought our property about 20 years ago.
Wow.
And over the years, we never meant to live in Brooklyn. We were living in Long Island at the time. I was raised in Long Island. And we would always come back and check on our tenants, and we would see little subtle changes like strollers,
wow,
people walking dogs, and, you know, lots that were lots for 20, 30, 40 years turning to big high-rise buildings.
Mm.
And, you know, we were like, we really need, as homeowners in the community, we wanted to further invest in the community, and we really wanted to open up a business. So we started doing some research, and a lot of my research was done in coffee shops. So I used to run to this one coffee shop, and I would see this one woman who really inspired me. I saw her doing so much, like, you know, she would be behind bars, she would be stocking, she would be sitting at the table doing some paperwork. And while I'm sitting there, or my husband and I would sit there and talk about what kind of business should we open, a daycare, or, you know, like a pet grooming shop. I'm just like looking like, I think I can do this, like maybe a coffee shop. Yeah, so then I'm to Portland, Oregon, which is like the epicenter of coffee, for several weeks, and started really researching coffee science. And I just got really attracted to this being an industry of Black and brown people. Like, you know, it's so funny how a lot of people of color don't have a deep association or affinity to third wave coffee, but this industry really helps, you know, tie that, you know, those countries with us here today. And I just was really interested. So long story short, we opened the coffee shop, then we evolved that coffee shop where we just was doing coffee and pastries and toast, like smashed avocado.
Yeah.
To now we're a full service cafe.
Wow.
We do catering. We're starting to do cafeteria services. We've been vending a little bit, like being concession stands for music venues, like the Knitting Factory, which is always fun. So it's been a really cool journey.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And wow. So can you just tell us what third wave coffee shop means?
Or? Sure. Yeah. So in short, like a coffee head out there will kill me for describing it this way, but it has to be quick, right? So in short, like first wave coffee was when here in the States, where we would only get coffee basically from like grocery stores, from the big barrels, and you know, they were like Folgers.
Yes,
and
my grandmother drank Folgers.
Exactly, or Senka, and you got the little, and you may, there may have been a grinder there, a big bulk grinder there where you get the coffee beans and they would do it for you, and the whole grocery store would smell like coffee.
Yes.
But like, you know, from there, maybe even gas stations, like, you know.
Yes, yes.
And then Starbucks came along and they made their second wave, pretty much, and they made coffee a communion. And they came up with that third place. You had home, you had work, and you had your Starbucks. And, you know, they drinks were like, you know, 16-ounce lattes. And they made, no one even said lattes before Starbucks. Okay, you know, not really, not here.
Yeah.
And then third wave would be the philosophy that we follow, has more sustainability practices. So there's direct trade or fair trade.
Okay.
The roasters that we use, direct trade, so they work directly with farmers. So I actually have had the opportunity to meet some farmers.
And oh, wow.
They invest in the infrastructures of their farm. They brew a certain way, so the training and how we brew our coffee might be a little bit different. You see, like, more manual brewed coffee, mm-hmm. like pour-overs or, you know, the Chemex, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. So how coffee is procured, how it's brewed, you know, from seed to cup is kind of the third wave philosophy of coffee. And I think what people are used to are, you know, not people of color practicing coffee in that way, you know. And like I said before, it's weird because coffee comes from countries where mostly black and brown people, you know, live.
Right, right.
And you don't see, especially here in the States, a lot of people having an affinity or a close connection to coffee.
Wow, I'm super excited about coffee hearing you talk about it. I need some of the Bushwick grind right now.
I can talk about it all day, but, you know, it's definitely been a life-changing experience because it just started with the, you know, research of this product, and it turned into this wonderful thing where we actually have a beautiful community in our shop.
Wow.
You know.
That's so fantastic. And I know that you won an award recently too, right?
Yeah, last year, you know.
Don't be shy about it. That's fantastic.
We were named the Cornerstone, a community cornerstone cafe.
That is fantastic.
By the Brooklyn One Foundation. So Eric Adams and the Brooklyn Borough President had come to our shop, and we got all fancy at the Brooklyn Museum, and it was a nice...
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it was nice.
Congratulations.
Was nice, yeah.
And I have to say, it's, you know, it's so funny you would say that, because I have always studied in coffee shops, and so I can totally see you and Raymond sitting there, doing your research, being there, and thinking about other opportunities while the answer was right there, underneath your feet.
Exactly, literally.
And, I mean, look at how it's taken off from, like, just providing coffee to catering to having a full-service menu. You know, we're going to have some of your coffee in a couple of weeks at our launch for Breakthrough ADR.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to share it with the world.
Yes.
And so it's just amazing how... coffee can open doors. And I love coffee, by the way. I live in Costa Rica, where great coffee comes from.
Yes.
And you're right, there's coffee coming from a lot of great countries, Ethiopia, Jamaica, Colombia, all over the world. And so thank you for being a third wave provider and, like, sharing it with us all here in New York City. That's just amazing.
Happy to do so.
Awesome. And so for those of you just tuning in for the first time, I want you to know what we do. We have a number that, kind of a hotline, if you will, that you can call in and leave a message asking a question just to kind of get some insight for a situation that you're navigating. It could be a conflict. It could be a question like, oh, I can't figure out what school to choose or what to do about X. And what we do is, with a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and then we talk about it. So we basically talk about what we would do in that situation. And so that's kind of a nice segue, Kim. What do you think
to
playing our first message? So without further ado, I'm going to play our first message for you.
Hi there. I have the question that I'd like to bring up, which is I have two employees working for me, and one of them is more senior than the other. And I would like to have a conversation with, I guess, my manager on his performance. I think that there are areas for him to improve on, and I feel a little bit, I guess the right word is let down, because the other employee's outperforming him, and he's a much more younger employee and, you know, smaller in a sense, I guess, and that he doesn't have as many responsibilities. But I want to point this out to him without making him feel small about it. And I want to inspire him to step up and, you know, take responsibilities on versus always waiting for instruction, because at this point he should know these things already. I think a lot of the conversations that we do have on performance or issues on the job are repetitive. I know it's a pretty long-winded question, but that's my question. Thank you, Scott.
Wow. Okay. Awesome. So, Kim, I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you manage people, and so this question is really about, you know, managing people, managing your staff, and trying to figure out how to have these sort of conversations that some may label as being difficult or courageous, to try to encourage someone to step up, but also kind of thinking about some issues with performance that could be improved, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
So, not at all experts, but however, I'm very opinionated.
That'll work.
So I'll take that. So, you know, and like as I shared with you before, so not only do my husband and I own the cafe, I also am an employee and I work for Weight Watchers, been there for over 20 years, and I've had employees reporting to me. So I have a corporate response, and then I have a mom-pop shop response.
Okay, we'll
and
take both
cases,
of them.
In some cases, I guess they can be different. So the nice thing about having how we respond in a corporate environment is that you have all this regulation and all this, you know, procedures in place of how you would engage an employee with performance issues, and if you need them to take or give them permission to take initiative. Mm-hmm. So my corporate response would probably follow suit of what that organization dictates, and it would be easier. But either way, from either perspective, I think being confident in that you have to give feedback to an employee in order to run an effective team is the most important. Like, we shouldn't, you know, feel bad that we have to give critique or feedback.
Yes.
We shouldn't internalize it as, you know, I'm being a bull, you know, a bad person by giving feedback. And sometimes I know in being a position of leadership, we feel so sensitive, and which is a nice thing. It's a human thing to do. You want to be sensitive to others' feelings. However, if you don't deliver the feedback, you're going to get the same result.
Right.
And that's not fair to the whole team. It's not fair to whoever your customer is or whoever you're servicing. So corporate response, follow to what that organization dictates. From a mom and pop shop response, which it's costly to recruit. I'll just say what it is. So once you have someone working on your team, you probably really want to keep them, and you want the best out of them. So, and not responding is a message to the other members of the team, because they can see what you can see.
That's
it's
right.
Not invisible. If you notice it, they probably have been talking about it at the water cooler 10 times over by the time they got, you know, hopefully, you know. So, in this case, again, I would say be very confident about what you want. Be very confident of the response that the fact that you have to give feedback. But I would think sometimes people need permission to take initiative because they feel like they're out of place. It may not be their place, or they're stepping on somebody else's toes, especially in this case where you're saying they're like a junior person on the team. They may feel like they have to be given permission to move something from point A to point B because maybe it's somebody else's job or they weren't directed to do so. So making it clear what you are allowed to do in the team, maybe if you're not completely sure, communicate to your colleague, hey, I think I want to make this change. No one told me to, but I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Can I take ownership of this? Or can we work on it together as a team? Or can I take it to the manager, my boss, to see if there's something that we can do. Once you have that conversation, if the person still is not taking initiative, and if it's slowing down the team or hampering your delivery, then, you know, you have to take steps to develop that team member.
Yeah.
So it's not always an easy thing to do, but one thing that I've learned over the years, I've always had, I had my first job at 13 years old, and every job and work full time, 13 till now.
That's impressive.
I've always had employees who were so much older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always in the beginning, you know, was very shy or very reserved in giving feedback. But now I've definitely learned, one, as the owner of an establishment and as a manager in a corporate environment, that you can't, you know, that will show. If you feel, if you're not confident about the feedback, if you feel that you have to coddle someone's feelings in your delivery, it's not going to be taken as strongly or maybe as respected or taken as seriously as you would want it to. So be confident, deliver the message, and expect results. And if you don't get the results that you're expecting, you have to have some type of development plan for that person.
That's right. That's right. I mean, wow, Kim, that was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, that was fantastic. I would love to work with you. Yeah. What we found is like hearing something for the first time and being able to respond to it is your initial reaction is usually perfect, right?
Yeah,
and so, I mean, I have to agree with you. I think that for this person, some of the things that our caller said was that she's talked to him before. Some things sound a little bit repetitive. And so she wants him to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like she's saying he doesn't have the ability to do it.
Right.
It sounds like he has the potential. She sees the potential. And she wants him to own it, like you're saying.
Right.
So she maybe needs to give him permission to own it and to kind of step into the role.
Right.
And if the way that they've been communicating in the past isn't working because she's feeling like it's repetitive, I would want to know, well, how are you communicating this message? Is it always in person? Is it over text? And you'd be surprised how many people just communicate via text. You know, is it in an email? Perhaps change the communication.
Right.
And to your point about having a plan, maybe you have to have a plan, whereas try to implement this within the next 15 to 30 days, this the next 60 days, because then maybe he or she can see it. And then start to move from there. Like, oh, well, and maybe they'll be empowered to really step into the role if they're kind of checking off, you know, performance goals,
right?
And you're right. It is hard to recruit. And so once, you know, it costs money. It's expensive. It costs money. You know, you train someone. They're familiar with your processes. Perhaps they came in with some bad habits. You had to, you know, retrain or reteach.
Right.
And so there is a cost to having to replace someone. And it doesn't sound like our caller is saying that she's thinking about replacing them, but it sounds like she's trying to figure out how to get the best out of this person.
Right.
And she feels like past methods didn't quite work.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that is what it sounds like she's saying. But at the same time, from the cost perspective, when you are paying an employee to deliver something, and then part of that delivery that you want them to provide is take an initiative. I should not have to instruct you on every part of your job, because some parts of your job is going to be unexpected.
Yeah.
Something is going to come up that I expect for you to work on, but I can't give you an employee manual of every single thing you're going to do today, this week, this month, or this year.
Yeah.
But I do have to know that you are flexible enough to handle those things.
Yes.
Or at the very least, seek help in how to handle it. Don't passively watch it happen. So you're right. She doesn't sound like she wants to necessarily let that employee go. But if you're paying someone to deliver those things, manage things, handle things, and they're not doing it, there's a cost to that as well. Because either you have the cost in your time, either you have to do it yourself, or you have to find someone else to do it, or, you know, take this time out in coaching. So I agree with you, like time boxing, you know, the space that you want that employee to make the change. I'm telling you what I want you to change. I want you to change it by this time, or we need to chat again.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to say, and it may sound harsh the way I'm saying it, but I've learned not doing so and letting things go. People show you who they are. Employees show you who they are. And if they're not delivering in a certain way, it's okay if you just want a routine, a person that's just doing a routine over and over again.
Yeah.
But this caller doesn't want that. She clearly says she wants an employee to take initiative.
Yes.
Junior or not. So she's expecting the same thing from her senior employees, from her junior employees. So if that person is not rising to that expectation, something has to be done. And it's the caller's responsibility to make sure that they get what they're expecting.
That's true. And I like that you also said, Kim, that sometimes that person sets the tone for other employees. Because you said, look, it's not invisible. If you see it, then other people might see it too.
Right.
And so the way that she responds, she said he, so the way that she responds to, you know, some of the things that she's discussed about his performance is kind of setting the tone and establishing a precedent for other employees.
Exactly.
Right? And so that's really important to think about, right?
Because there's a negative effect of the reward, right?
Yes.
So it's almost like the employees who are taking initiative and going the extra mile is saying, well, this employee is being rewarded for not doing it,
right?
Because he still works here. He's still getting paid.
Yeah.
He's still, every day that he's here, he's working on becoming a leader, right?
Yeah.
Like he's working on becoming senior. So he's going to be a senior level employee just like me. So he's actually being rewarded for not doing all the things that I already am doing. So why would I keep doing it? Exactly. Why would I keep going an extra mile? Why would I stay an hour later to make sure this is done? Why would, and if I see an emergency, why would I stop what I'm doing, jump on a call, handle this emergency? If I can be a senior person, not do those things, still work here, still get paid, and still become a senior person.
It's true.
You know, so you always have to look at it from the, you know, positive impact to the employee and the negative impact to the employees who are doing well.
That's right. And so I think the last question that she has for us is she wanted to know how can she basically point out certain things to him without making him feel bad, and how can she inspire him to step up? So do you have any tips for that?
I think the fact that she asks that question means that she intuitively cares about this person's feelings.
Absolutely.
So she already has the tools to deliver this message in a caring way. If you're asking, she's considering his feelings over considering realizing her expectations.
Yeah.
So since she's already doing that, I would say stick with what you already naturally have. You already have senior employees. That means you're doing something right to keep employees around to become senior and become effective employees.
Yeah.
So tap into those things that you're already doing. I think it's good to consider the employee's feelings. However, you cannot ignore your delivery, because if you are reserved in delivering the actual message because you're worried about their feelings, then you're not going to get what you want, and you're going to impact the other employees that's watching what happens, because they expect change too.
Right.
Once they know you spoke to this employee, because they will know. everybody knows about everything. I don't know how. It's like, I thought I told you not to say nothing.
People do talk. Right?
Everyone talks. Nothing, especially if it's a small environment.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
People will know. And once they know that you had a conversation with them, they're going to be looking for change as well.
That's right.
And it's important.
It is. It is. And so I agree with you. I think do what you're already doing. I think if you're asking specifically for how to construct feedback for someone, what I found to work as an effective strategy is to start with saying something positive, right? And so before you just jump into, you know, you didn't do X, you didn't do Y, and kind of a lot of criticism, I always like to point out something that the person did well.
Yeah.
What that usually triggers is like a happy response.
Right.
And then they're focused, they're paying attention, you're saying good things about them. It's like a kind of a stroking, if you will.
They're like, yeah, I'm about to get raised.
Yeah, they're like, wow, this is great. Like, I thought you were going to talk to me about, you know, X, and you're talking about Y right now.
Yeah.
And then I think you have to find a way to broach the subject. And I wouldn't then list 19 things that person did wrong.
Right.
I try to be judicious with feedback, especially if it's constructive. And for me, I like rule of threes is what I call it. And so I usually don't tell a person more than 3 bad things at a time.
Yeah.
I just think like too much, it's too much to process. And then you start to take it personally.
Right.
This person just doesn't like me, right? As opposed to what they're doing. And so sometimes you have to separate the message from the messenger. And I think sometimes you have to really pick what's really important. And so, you know, based on what you're saying, it sounds like there's some performance issues. I would ask you, can you lump those into categories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So can you make them broader? So instead of saying, you know, you write half emails and, you know, you don't always answer when I call on the phone, or sometimes when I talk to you, I feel like you're not listening. To me, all those 3 things are examples of communication
right?
Exactly. And so I would say, hey, I want to talk to you about communication. And then how can we improve our communication? And then I like to ask open-ended questions. right? Mm-hmm. So then you feel like you're part of the process. The person doesn't feel like they're being told to do something, but they're actively engaged in the solution. Right. And that's worked for me. Yeah. I don't know. What do you
think? I think that's really good and effective, because you don't want someone to feel like they're being, you know, like you said, picked on. If you come with a laundry list of things, it just sounds like you needed to vent.
Right. Like, she doesn't like anything I do.
Right. Well, just let it all out. You'd be like, you need a moment. Just tell me everything that's wrong with me. You know, you stop hearing.
Yes.
Like you said, I was just like, she just really has a problem with me.
That's right.
Why am I here? I can't live up to all the, if I have 10 things too wrong, much. I can't change 10 things.
Right.
I can work on a communication issue and things like that, but I can't work. Because now you're just trying to change my character.
That's right. And maybe it's not a good fit. And so I think be judicious in how you approach the subject.
Yeah.
And, you know, let us know how it goes. Like, we are here.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have Kim back on the show.
One thing I will say, though, another thing that just came to mind is also real time. I think it's really effective when you give someone feedback as it's happening, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Because it's top of mind, and then they can actually, they may even know. Sometimes when someone is doing something not all the way right, in the back of their mind, it's like, oh, man, I could have. Or maybe I rushed this. Or they know why they did it immediately.
Yes.
If you come to them a month later, 2 months later, they may not even remember the incident.
So true.
They don't remember the emotion that they was feeling. They don't remember maybe why they rushed it. Or maybe it was an act. Maybe it was completely unintended. They didn't even notice that, you know. So I just think as close to real time, and then you can give more. Because it's about that moment.
I agree.
Not like a laundry list later on.
I agree. And the only thing I'll add to that is, as long as this, you're not upset real time.
That's
because
true.
I feel
like
if you're angry.
Don't come in hot.
Yeah.
Don't come in hot.
Like,
I'm coming back.
don't come in like guns blazing, like super hot.
Yeah.
Like, definitely cool off first. Maybe take a day. But she, like, as Kim said, she's just spot on. As soon as real time as possible, so that while memories are fresh,
right.
Emotions are relatively, you know, fresh, you can have that conversation. So, yeah, I mean, keep us posted of how things go. We hope to hear, you know, more from you. Continue to call in, ask questions. I'm loving having you on the show, Kim. It's just great energy, great information. And with that being said, I want us to segue to our next caller. This caller is going to play. We're going to play this caller's message now.
Hey, Damali. First and foremost, I want to say I love that you're giving a platform for individuals to voice concerns about workplace conflicts. So thank you. Today, my particular issue comes from a previous job. Hearing a voice sound from employees having more knowledge of a particular role, and in some cases, they can better perform. In upper management, but the employees are having a hard time with moving up within that particular company because they're so good at their job. I'm all about navigating your own destiny, not finding that dependent on who the employee is. They only had three options in that particular situation. One, to sit down with upper management, explain their contributions to the company, and address the concerns of not getting a higher role. Two, look for employment elsewhere. Three, continue working in that current position. So I would like to ask you, what would you recommend to an individual that feels that three is not an option? And three was continue working in that current position. So thank you.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So if three isn't an option, if we're using his options, I think the first one was to sit down with upper management and talk to them. And then the second one was, you know, I guess look for employment elsewhere, right?
Right. So this is an employee who feels that they have basically outgrown their current position.
Yes.
And that they have skill set, knowledge, and ability to do another role that's either senior to their role or something different, but, you know, almost, but it's like a promotion.
Yes, this is different from than our last message.
Right, exactly.
Right?
This person is taking the initiative. So, I don't know, I think it's good. I think upward mobility is necessary. And if you stay in the same place for too long, you stagnate. And that might sound very hypocritical to a girl who just said she was at her company for 20 years, because I know nobody does that. But I've had very different roles in the 20 years, and I feel like the company I've been with has gone from private to public to 25% owned by Oprah Winfrey and all these different changes. So if I had to do the same job for a long period of time, more than 3 or 5 years, I would go nuts. And you always, you know, you don't want to feel like you're sitting on the sidelines and watching everybody else go ahead of you.
Yeah.
So one thing that I would probably advise is if you have identified a role that you want that is senior to yours or maybe a parallel position but considered, you know, even if it's not a promotion, even if it's just a parallel move, I would shadow a person who's in that role now and just kind of look at the gaps between what you're doing today, your skills, your knowledge, your assets versus theirs, and see where the gaps are. And if the gaps are few, then you probably know you're more ready. But if the gaps are, if they're a lot, if they're a wide gap, mm-hmm. then maybe there's some things you need to work on. Because one thing is for sure, if there's an open position at your company, your firm, wherever you work, whether it's a small mom and pop, a mid-sized company, or a large-sized company, like we mentioned before with the last call, recruiting costs, it's difficult. If there is existing talent, especially mm-hmm. in this job market, talented yeah. people are working. And usually, it's a talented people market.
Yes, yes.
So if one thing I can say pretty confidently is if that role exists in the firm you are now, and you're already there, that manager, that employer, that recruiter wants you and not have to go out to the market and hunt for talented people who are in high demand.
Yeah.
So if they're not coming for you or if they're declining you for that role, there might be a reason. Find out where the gaps are. What is that guy who's in the job now today doing that you are not doing or you're capable of doing and not expressing it or not demonstrating it enough? Mm-hmm. And then do that. Get very clear if you already went for that role and they're not promoting you to it, if they declined you for that role, you have very clear understanding of why.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe is that role at another firm, but we said that wasn't necessarily, that wasn't the option, right? Like, we don't want to leave.
Right.
We also don't want to stay doing the same job because we're going to feel devalued.
Yes.
And nobody works well. You're not going to work in your current position well if you're feeling undervalued.
That's
if
right.
you feel like you don't have opportunity for growth. So you want to grow. Let not growing, that cannot be an option. You know, if you're not satisfied, staying in the same place, unhappy, unsatisfied should never be the option. You should always be looking. But I just think that there's a reason. If you're not there, help yourself understand why. Maybe you need a certification. Maybe yeah. you need a training class. Maybe you need a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to just take that guy who's doing a job out for lunch or for happy hour and find out what the key language is or the role so you that you can use that language when you're, you know, negotiating your upward mobility.
That was fantastic, Kim. I mean, that's wonderful advice. Because I think most people just think about, like, oh, I'm not getting these opportunities, it's flat. You know, maybe the hierarchy doesn't allow for certain upward moves. But to your point, you're saying, you know, find out why. And I am always a fan of finding out why. Like, if I didn't get a certain position or a certain role, or if I'm bidding for a certain job and I didn't get it, mm-hmm. I want to know why so the next time
exactly.
I increase my likelihood of getting it.
Right.
And I love that. You're like, maybe there's something that you need. It's a certification. Maybe you don't know the right people. And so that sounds like some great advice to me. I actually don't have anything to add to that. That was so perfect and fulsome and complete.
Well,
not only that, like spot on. And what I love about it too is like, you know, the juxtaposition of our first caller and our second caller, right? And so I think this will help a lot of people who are managing others or who are in the role of being an employee trying to evaluate what to do next if they're in this position.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate that. That's okay. Really awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Good questions, callers.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, this is what we're here for. I mean, we are here to try to help you think about ways to navigate these things as they arise. And sometimes it's helpful to have someone who's not involved in the situation, who's a third party with no vested interest in the outcome, to kind of say like what we would do if we were presented with the information as we understand it,
yeah.
right? And so I just want to thank you, Kim, for being here today.
Anytime.
Thank you so much. Just having you here. You mentioned it before. We met in the Goldman Sachs program. And I'm just telling you, I was so inspired by you, Kim. Your story, your journey, like how you've just grown from just only providing coffee to providing many things, and how you have a community. You know, cool. Like you're getting this recognition and accolades because you've become a cornerstone of your community. Thank you. That, like we all thank you for that. Especially coffee drinkers like me. and I want to thank the audience for tuning in. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.
Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.